So the U.S. Embassy officially opens in Jerusalem, prompting violent clashes in Gaza and elsewhere, and of course many other questions of the Middle East as a result of this. Middle East expert Aaron David Miller, advisor in Middle East negotiations to Secretary of States of both political parties, now Vice President New Initiatives, the Wilson Center. Aaron Miller, I assume this would be very much in the script that there would be violence on this day.
Yeah, but remember, this is part of a peace, at least along the Israeli-Gazan border, which has been planned since March 30, when the first of 8 weeks of demonstrations and protests, initially protesting terrible economic conditions in Gaza, but I suspect hijacked by Hamas. This is the seventh or eighth Friday in a row, and this was designed to coincide not just with the opening of the embassy today, but with Al Nakba Day tomorrow, which is the catastrophe day, the flip side of the creation of the State of Israel, and all the misfortune that befell Palestinians in the wake of the creation of that state. So this is not a surprise. It may well be the intensity of it has been accelerated by the decision, but interestingly enough, last time I checked, these protests, demonstrations, violence have not spread in a substantial way, either through Jerusalem proper or to the West Bank. And that would be required if, in fact, this sort of confrontational arc were to be sustained.
Yeah, I was to ask you about that. That's an interesting point. Now, it turns out that an evangelical leader, quite controversial. In fact, Mitt Romney had said he's not the appropriate person to do it because of some intolerant things he said over the years, goes ahead and is part of this official ceremony, which brings to mind whether this is actually more of a big deal for American evangelicals than for American Jews versus Jews in Israel.
No, I think that this was done largely for reasons that were that are untethered from foreign policy considerations or from the consideration of the negotiations. This was a domestic political play, in my judgment, designed to fulfill a campaign promise, which is very important to this president, to separate himself from his predecessor and to become the un-Obama, and to placate a variety of constituencies, not just evangelical, but the pro-Israeli community and conservatives in the United States. So unless this is a very skillful effort to apply so much honey to the Israelis that when the time comes for the vinegar to be applied,
yes,
the Israelis are being asked to make difficult choices, that Mr. Trump has put Mr. Netanyahu in a veritable box, then this was all about the myth.
And we have talked about that before. What about the notion, though, that Benjamin Netanyahu is playing a sophisticated, multidimensional chess game on several fronts? He goes to Moscow, meets with Putin. Of course, Russia backs Iran, and that's got to give the Iranians a few jitters.
Well, it does, but it also is in Mr. Netanyahu's and Israel's interest to make sure that they maintain good ties. 8 meetings in the last 18 months between Netanyahu and Putin. Putin has considerable leverage, assuming he'd be willing to use it, certainly over the Syrian government, the Assad government, and perhaps with Iran as well. And you have a dangerous situation up. Nobody wants a full-scale confrontation, neither the Israelis, the Iranians, the Russians, the Americans. I think I mentioned the Israelis twice. So that, frankly, Mr. Putin, while he sometimes plays the role of arsonist, can also play the role of the firefighter. And I think that's smart play on Netanyahu's part.
And finally, the notion that the Trump decision to negate the Iranian nuclear deal from the U.S. side, that has increased the possibility of war between Iran and Israel on a grand scale.
Well, a war between Iran and Israel on a grand scale would mean, since they don't share contiguous borders, would mean missile strikes against both mainlands of both countries. I think, frankly, that's right now is a stretch. But pulling out of this deal without a plan B, even though it's highly flawed, it was still functional. And I think in the end, that is going to create more trouble and more problems than any possible return.
All right. I know you're busy today for obvious reasons. Aaron David Miller, thank you for your time.
Take care, Alan.
Take care.